A DeWitt Law Firm Q&A Day. DeWittLLP.com. Dausch, when folks have Packers questions, they come to us. When they have legal questions, where do you think they should go?
DeWitt Law Firm. Attorneys who are experienced. They're practical and dedicated to outstanding legal results for their clients. Employment relations, one of the more than 30 practice area specialties at DeWitt Law Firm. All companies, they want to avoid employment problems, whether it's proactive advice to keep you out of trouble or fierce advocacy to defend your interest. You can rely on DeWitt's employment team to protect your business. DeWitt Law Firm has attorneys on the ground in Milwaukee, Madison, Minneapolis, and up by Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Learn more about DeWitt's attorneys online at DeWittLLP.com. That's DeWittLLP.com.
Jesse has been working very hard. Very hard is probably strong.
You didn't like You've that old boy. Up? I mean, old boy fact-checked you in real time. You didn't like that. Put a little more work on your plate, said that you were wrong, and it turns out you were wrong. The last time Washington came into Green Bay was
1986.
Was that Theismann yet, or was he out of commission by then? I'm trying to remember what year he snapped, old boy snapped his leg. It was right around, I think it was still Theismann in 86.
I don't know the answer to that. I can fact check that for you. While Jesse's looking up information on where the phrase up your alley comes from. But Jesse, I was trying to praise you for your hard work. Because we have a... He's a grinder. Because you have a Q&A day question that required you to do more scouring of history? Like, you had to, Google something or YouTube something, huh?
We're going to go down memory lane here for a moment. I have a question on the talking text line.
Is that a bowling alley or is that a street?
From Phil in Chicago. He texts in at 844-770-3776. Mr. Wilde, Mr. Tauscher, and Mr. Wow. Nelson.
Wow, very professional.
He had my attention. My name is Phil, a diehard Packers fan outside of Chicago. Always heard Jason's appearances on Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. Since the spring, I've listened to you guys every day. Thanks, Phil. Appreciate you.
Wow.
I've heard you guys mention a couple times that Jason asked Mark Murphy in 2018 what made him qualified to hire the new head coach instead of letting the GM do it, and I was wondering what he said in response.
Gosh, this was one of my favorite moments, Jason Wilde journalist, was this.
So
and now... That's why Mark Murphy won't look him in the face.
Let's go back in the Wayback Machine to December of 2018. Mark Murphy on why he is choosing the new head coach of the Green Bay Packers and not general manager Brian Gutekunst.
I don't want to brag about myself, but I've been, all of my adult life, I've been involved in football. I've seen it from the perspective of a player. I've been an athletic director for 17 years. I've hired many, many coaches, several football coaches. And so I think I have a lot to offer. I feel that I'm a football person, even though I'm on the in a position of president, and Brian and I have a great relationship, and I think this gives the Packers the best chance to have success, and that's why I'm doing it.
Was he smiling? Because he kind of gave the laughter, but was there a glare in his eye like, you blank and blanker?
There were some blanking thoughts, I think, probably. I now, in fairness, I did preface it by saying that this is not how it has been done for the last nearly 30 years since Ron Wolf took over. And that this team has a history of when non-football people make decisions,
not good,
that sometimes things have gone sideways. So it wasn't necessarily, you don't know what the hell you're doing, although there may have been that thought of that possibility. But he hired the right guy. Matt LaFleur's been great. Aaron Rodgers will tell you he's been great. So he got it right. I don't know if you can give Goody credit, because you like to give him credit. It was all Murph. I'm like, Mark Murphy put his foot down and said, this is the guy we're hiring. Others on the panel, Russ Ball, Brian Gutekunst, wanted to do a second round of interviews. And he said, no, this is the guy. He made the call. And as somebody who questioned that, I have to acknowledge, it appears, based on 2.5 years' evidence, he got the right guy. Now, when the GM drafts a quarterback in 2020, and if he's their starter in 2022, we'll see how good Matt LaFleur is and whether or not he's able to sustain the success that he's had
as
a very good head coach.
In what's the mandatory retirement age? He's only got
he's
a couple
only
years
66.
Left.
He's got 4 more years that he can be the president. Yeah.
So would Goody tell you he had nothing to do with the hiring of Matt LaFleur either?
He did not tell me that he had nothing to do with him. But I know for a fact, talking to multiple people, that they wanted to do a second interview. It's Goody liked him. It's not that he didn't like him. But they wanted to do a second round of interviews with him, and I think one or two other candidates that they interviewed. And, you know, maybe Matt LaFleur still gets the job. But that was Mark Murphy's call. He was done with the interview process. He had his guy. And so far, so good. He's been very good.
So you have no problem. You asked a tough question, which is what journalism is supposed to be.
Yeah.
Mark didn't like it, and now he doesn't like you, and that's fine. And he's done it. He made the most. His hire has been fantastic. I'm not going to sit here and tell you Goody and everything. GMs get credit for things, too. But this is a Murph deal. Murph gets the credit, and I think he should take a celebratory tube ride when this thing is up, because the whole deal with his hands up, he has nailed it. Period.
I don't want to brag about myself, but...
But now I hate Jason Wilde, and I won't even look him in the eye when he walks past me. I still think that he still looked me in the eye after that. I think it's more my connection to Rodgers that has now created that, but that's just my theory. Jesse, have you curated any other Q&A Day questions that you really like thus far from
the
text
way,
portion?
By the way, as Jesse's accumulating, Jay Schrader, 1986 quarterback, when the Washington football squad last won at the Lambeau Field.
Did he precede or follow Mark Rippon?
Rip Dog, I think, was the next quarterback. No, it was, I think, then Doug Williams and then Rippon, because Joe Gibbs, God bless him, and anybody telling him the quarterback won his championships, he's going to say, no, I won these championships
Hogs.
With 3 different QBs. I'll venture to say we will never see a coach do that again. Never. Win a chip with 3 QBs? Never.
Yeah. I like it.
Unless Matt LaFleur is able to get one with Rodgers this year and then get one with Jordan Love, because LaFleur is only 30, 40, whatever old he is. He might coach till he's 60, and then maybe he'll get Brady on the back end of his career.
Nice. Well played. I would just point out that you know Daniel Snyder is a bad owner when he brings back Joe Gibbs, and Joe Gibbs can't win in Washington.
Well, like, that's not why he's a bad owner. Joe Gibbs is in
but
his
it's
sixth.
I mean, further proof.
It's on a long list.
Yeah. Hired Spurrier.
Justin, what else you got?
Yeah.
Justin in Middleton with a DeWitt Law Firm Q&A Day question. Do you think Whitney Merciless will room with Aaron Rodgers? And if so, will Randall Cobb join them, and will they have a released from prison party?
I don't think that they'll probably room together. No, I'm sure Rodgers probably's got his own spot, if I'm guessing. I do. I think this is going to be an interesting case study as far as I still don't understand why the league lets this happen. I was thinking a lot
tanking?
About this last night. No, just letting a really good player that's healthy. You're paying him to go play somewhere else when you don't get anything back. It makes no sense. Couldn't Houston have gotten a comp pick had they just let him sign with somebody next year? What I don't understand what Houston's doing other than flat tanking.
Yes,
and
you're
why
right.
The league allows that is insane to me. Now, yep. Granted, it works great for us, and I'm happy to
works
have
it. Works great
him.
For Whitney Merciless, too.
Great for Whitney, but what on earth is it good for the league? It's not. This is, in essence, and I know you don't play fantasy football. One of my teams stinks this year. This would be like me just saying, Aaron Jones, Rodgers, I'm just going to release these
Taylor
guys.
Taylor Heineke.
I'm going to let the hounds go. You go get them. Whoever wants them could go get them. And then I'm going to let these guys. That's not how it works because commissioners will come in and say, no, even though your team stinks, you can't get it so that another team can stack their team even more. But the NFL lets these guys do this? Even if you just have to give up a comp seventh. All right, great. At least Green Bay had to do something. I don't know how this is helping the NFL maintain any type of competitive balance. It's a dumb thing from an overall standpoint.
Yeah, they're tanking. They're tanking so they can get a new franchise quarterback because they're trading Deshaun Watson. It's absolutely true. We need to get to our Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week. Are you getting help on this, too, or
no,
is this
no.
something you're doing independently?
No, obviously I haven't because I've lost the last couple weeks, and I have a five-year winning
streak. So perhaps you
should
consider.
Jesse's actually pushing me. For the first time, I feel pushed. It's been such cakewalk city for years. Because Jesse's flat out, he's just picking players that are at least active. And that's been one of the weak parts of your game, picking a lot of deactivated or players that are released right before the game. That's been one of your, I guess, faux pas. Fox Pauxes.
My selection will be Quentin Dunbar. Quentin Dunbar. Our Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week are next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Oh, what a night.
The time has come. For our Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week, presented by Steinhoffels. Last Friday, we did them in the Steinhoffel store in Madison. We're not there today, but if you're there today, it's a green and gold Friday. Stop in any Steinhoffel superstore wearing your Packers gear today and get their Park City Rocker Recliner for just $299. That's 47% off. And you know, we talked about it earlier, it's getting cold, the leaves are falling, nights are getting colder. You know what that means? It's sofa season at Steinhoffels. Steinhoffels has a sofa to fit every style and every budget. Sofa for the big game, catching up with the fam, or binging your favorite show. And during Steinhoffel's falling prices sale, every sofa, bedroom, dining set, and more is all on sale. Only at Steinhoffel's and Steinhoffel's.com. Time now for our Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week.
Don't sleep, you gotta stay up. Hey there, sleepyhead. Wakey, wakey.
Okay, campers, rise and shine.
It's time for the Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week on Wilde and Tausch.
It is time for the Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week. Time for Tausch and his team to select his choice.
No, I had not hired or brought anyone onto the fold as far as Steinhoffler. I got to admit, my boy Bob has been disappointing. I picked him. He's very sleepy so far this year. And I don't think that's... So now I'm kind of torn. Do I go away from Bob and go somewhere else, or do I keep riding the Tunyon train? And I'm going to answer that with a resounding choo-choo. Because I'm sticking with old Big Bad Bob. I'm staying on the train. I think this train still has a lot to go. I think this is a good week for him to pop. And I'm going with Big Bad Bob as my Steinhoffer of the week for a third week out of four. And I haven't won any of them. But I'm going to win it this week.
Quite a commitment. Sooner or later, you're going to be right. Broken clock, right twice a day. Bob Tunyon. Mark Tauscher's selection. Jesse, your turn.
Is that like 4 weeks in a row for you on Tunyon?
Three out of four, yeah. And I've lost all three. I've won every other week, so it's been a tough deal, but I'm sticking with my guy.
Of course you have.
Well, let me tell you about a sleeper in...
A story named about a man named Jed.
The fantasy league that I am in, the team Wonelli is 1-5. Not doing so hot. And Wonelli is starting Robert Tunyon at tight end this weekend. Wonelli is starting Alan Lazard in the flex position. And Wonelli is also starting Randall Cobb as a wide receiver. It's a rough stretch for Wonelli. But we are going to go with Randall Cobb as the Steinhoffel sleeper of the week this week. I think Cabo finds the end zone this week. This is going to be the game I thought the offense was going to have last week. I think it's going to be a bit of a field day. I think the lead is built early, and it's through the air. And the reason for that is I think with a short week coming up against the Arizona Cardinals, look to rest some of those starters in the fourth quarter. Try to build that lead early instead of a grind-out game
so you get
a little rest late. So I'm going Randall
Jordan
Cobb.
Jordan Love is your sleeper then?
Jordan Love could see some fourth quarter action. Not a bad pick, but he's not starting on Wonelli's 1-5 fantasy team this
fair.
So Randall Cobb, my pick. If you want to pick Lazard, Tausch that'd be great.
Tausch has Tunyon.
I do.
Jesse has Randall Cobb. I'm going on the other side of the ball. Now, Jesse, you fancy yourself a Batman movie connoisseur.
One of my favorite franchises, yes.
Liam Neeson's character in the first Batman Begins of that Christopher Nolan trio of films. What exactly is his name? I've never seen it written out.
Ra's al Ghul.
So I'm picking Ra's al Douglas. The cornerback that they picked up. And he played a lot last week. I don't know how much he's going to play this week. I am risking it here. Just because I wanted to do the Ra's al Ghul reference. He played pretty well. He had some mistakes, but he's certainly an upgrade over Isaac Yiadom. And while Kevin King has practiced the last 2 days and is expected to practice today, I'm not sure he's going to play the entire game. We know that Eric Stokes will, because they're still without the depoy, Jair Alexander. So my pick, Rasul Douglas, the cornerback that they plucked off the Arizona practice squad a couple weeks ago. Those are our Steinhoffel sleepers of the week. You can share yours on the Wilde and Tausch Twitter feed, at Wilde and Tausch, and of course, at Steinhoffels. I know the Steinhoffels social media team and a bunch of their folks. We're all listed on LinkedIn, by the way. Like to chime in with their sleepers as well. Our Steinhoffel sleepers of the week, presented by Steinhoffels. Next, Tausch. This is our guy, but he's really your friend. Scheduled to appear next, who we got?
Ryder Cup champion, Captain Steven. I don't know if he goes by Steven, but Steve Stricker. Scheduled to appear. Coming up next.
Strick joins us next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
I got some good friends that live down the street. Got a good looking woman with her arms around me. Live in a small town where it feels like home. I got everything I need and nothing that I don't. Oh no.
USA! USA! Stay a while if you don't believe me. A Ryder Cup triumph. A rout! Do you think Steve liked the fact that it didn't, like, come down to the last match?
I do think so, yeah. I'm guessing.
We'll ask him. Joining us now, you know him from his many appearances on Will the Attach, and he's accomplished some other things, too, in his career. Not just that. But we love it when he joins us, whether we're getting ready for the AmFam Championship, or he's just hanging out with us during pandemics, or he's taking a victory lap after leading the United States to a Ryder Cup championship. It is our friend Steve Stricker on Will Dean Tausch. Steve, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Good. Good morning to you guys. How are you guys?
We're doing fantastic.
We're awesome.
So, Steve, good. What's it been like? I mean, because you had all this buildup. You had to wait an extra year. What's been the victory part of this? Because you're going to embrace this victory side. You're going to have a couple cold beers. Give us a little taste of what the last couple weeks have been like.
You know, it's been great. It's pretty subdued on my end. You know how I am. You know, I took the trophy to a few places here and there. Had some friends over, obviously, that kind of stuff. Took it to the game, a Badger football game, and we're down on the field with that. That was pretty cool. And you know, so it's been around a little bit. I'm actually sending it back today, so it's kind of a somber day here. I'm sending it back to the headquarters, and then it'll start making some more rounds with the players and all that. But it's been a great few weeks, I'm glad it's over. Tell you the truth, it was a long process, and now I can start focusing on, you know, the family time and helping my kids and Nikki, and then you know, getting my game going again for next year.
So, Steve, is the Ryder Cup sort of like the Stanley Cup in the respect you hand it off, and not that there's all the shenanigans that you see because it's not as big as the Stanley Cup, but is that kind of the same, I guess, the same motif?
Yeah, it is. It's a special trophy, one that, you know, I mean, when I took it to the football game, you know, we were up in a suite and, you know, people would come by, they saw it, they came in, took pictures with it. You know, I had it down on the field, and there was, Kellner was there, and Chris McIntosh, the new AD. So we were able to, you know, everybody wanted to see it and take a picture with it. So it's one of those trophies that's pretty iconic. It gets a lot of recognition when you bring it around. You know, it's just one of those things that means a lot in the sport of golf. And it's, you know, it's an old trophy, 1927, so it's been around a long time. And to have it is pretty cool. And, well, there's my girls giggling and laughing if you can hear that. But it's one of those things that's pretty cool to have and pretty neat to show it off. I took it to AmFam, American Family Insurance, the other day with a bunch of people there. We got one big picture. So it's pretty cool to have.
So, Steve, I was worried that Tausch was going to take my question because this is the type of question I would normally expect from Tausch, but instead I'm going to ask it. As I look at the trophy, there's obviously a little golfer guy on top, right? Does that top come off? Can you pour? Can you pour Coors Light into the trophy and drink out of it?
Oh yeah,
like they do with the Stanley Cup, or is that not an option?
Oh no, you sure can. You can drink whatever you want out of the top of it. Now the pandemic has caused, you know, some second guessing and some you know, things that you people may not drink as much out of it. But we had a few drinks out of it over the course of these last few weeks and the Sunday of it. It's one of those things that it's not very big. It's not like the Stanley Cup where you can pour a whole bunch in there, but it's just enough to take a nice drink out of there.
Steve, which one of your guys enjoyed it the most, do you think, just the night after?
Oh boy, that's a hard one. I think, you know, I don't know if I could pick one guy out. You know, I was thinking about it today, and again, you know, I think about it a lot still. You know, and there were so many guys that did so many great things. You know, I thought about Bryson. Here's, you know, one of the best players in the world. We only played him three times, you know, and to not have an ego and not to, you know, get upset that he only played three times. You know, everybody was on the same page. Everybody was just there to win it and to come together and do whatever it took to win. And there were a lot of guys like that. You know, they all just I had planned on playing, or we did as captains, planned on playing Justin Thomas probably all five matches. And all of a sudden, Saturday morning, he just didn't look himself. You know, he looked a little tired, and, you know, so we decided to sit him in the afternoon. And he didn't, you know, shoot, what did he do? He went to the first tee and chugged a beer with the fans, you know. So it was so many positive and cool things on every, you know, from every player on every front, you know, that we just, they did whatever we asked of them, and they didn't hesitate, and they all enjoyed it.
Talking with Ryder Cup champion captain and friend of show, Steve Stricker on Wildy and Tausch. Steve, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? I like the ring of that. Steve, I don't say this in a sucking up way, but you've had such a fantastic golf career as a player, and you've accomplished so much, and comebacks, everything you've done. But you did those things. You had control over your tee shot and whether you made a putt. What was your captaincy like? You obviously had a vital role in this success, but you don't have any control over the actual shots. What was that experience like for you?
It actually, you know, we all put so much time and energy in, me and the assistants, prior to that week. You know, we went up there for a practice round, you know, about 7 days prior, week prior. You know, we talked on the phone a bunch. We had these Zoom calls. We, you know, talked with our analytical team. And, you know, we put so much time and energy in to make sure that we put these guys in a favorable spot. And I actually wanted to tell these guys where they were going to play on Friday on the Monday of. So we prepared starting Monday. We called them all in and we told them this is what we're going to do on Friday. And this was Monday, not knowing how these guys would be hitting it at the time on Friday, but we were so convicted and positive that they were, you know, going to do well that we wanted to give them the whole week to prepare for Friday. And that really has never been done. And so they were able to prepare that way, and they just responded, you know. And they're such good kids, and they're hell of players. And this group could stay together for a long time. And they, you know, a lot of them didn't bring any scar tissue. A lot of these guys weren't on a Ryder Cup team. Six of them, I think, hadn't been on a Ryder Cup team. So they came in there with eyes wide open, and you know, I keep saying it, put me in, coach, I'll do whatever you want, kind of thing. And so it was great in that respect.
Steve, how much input did the guys have with you? Because you tell them on Monday what their pairings are. If somebody comes up and says, I'd rather play with this guy, or there, obviously everybody was selfless, but how much input did the players have with you as far as how you made those decisions?
Yeah, a lot. You know, I had a dinner with them down in Atlanta during the Tour Championship week. I went down there to see the top six, and who had already made it on points. We hadn't picked the next six captain's picks yet. So I got their feedback on them, you know, from them on who the next six picks would be. You know, we went over pairings, and I would call these guys individually and say, this is where I'm thinking, and are you good with that? You know, then the analytics played a role in what those pairings would look like. So the analytics, you know, we took with a grain of salt. I mean, they thought Colin Morikawa and Dustin Johnson wasn't going to be a good pairing. Well, as players, myself and the assistant captains were like, how can that not be a good pairing? You know, I mean, you got two of the best players in the world, and they complement each other. So we went against analytics there and said, you know what, we'd love to put these guys together. And so that turned out well. So it's kind of, yeah, talking to them, having them have some ownership in the team. You know, I mean, I think that's important. I don't know about you, Tausch, with your days in Green Bay, but if you guys had ownership, but I wanted these players, and that's been a common theme amongst the last few Ryder Cups, to give these guys the ability to tell you what they want and how they would feel comfortable in a certain format or who they're pairing with. And you know, I took the time, the extra year, I sent out a questionnaire to get deeper into their heads on who they would think would make a good partner. Scottie Scheffler, you know, he said he wanted to play with Bryson. So, bang, there you go. You know, we had Scottie touted as, you know, bringing him in to play with Bryson. And that worked out well. And Scottie's a heck of a player and, you know, took down John Rahm, you know, on Sunday. So there was so many good things. And it is. It's like a big puzzle and you're trying to put it all together. And then once the week comes, you kind of just let them go. You know, on Friday, it's like, shoot, my job. I felt like our job as captains were done. And, you know, just watch them and let them go out there and play. And they responded and played great.
Yeah, no doubt. I think that's, you know, you mentioned my time up in Green Bay. Best teams are always led from inside the locker room. Speaking of Green Bay, we were up at the Ryder Cup a few days. Padraig Harrington, I thought, did a genius move by bringing out the cheeseheads and having everybody out. Matter of fact, someone in my family has an autographed Padraig Harrington cheesehead. He's still rooted for Team USA, but what did you think of that little gimmick? I thought it was genius by the European team.
Yeah, that was good. And they tend to do that. We tend to do that when we go over to, we try to win over the crowd, but it doesn't work. You know, I mean, it provides some lightheartedness. You know, the fans respond to that for sure. But at the end of the day, you know, Americans still going to cheer for the American side. But, you know, that was good. I thought it was cute. And, you know, there were a couple of days where they dressed in, like, seemed like Green Bay colors. So,
yep.
It was pretty cool on their part. But it didn't didn't seem to help, did it, Tausch? Well,
Steve, unfortunately, they played more like Bears. And the U.S. played more like the Packers last week.
Yeah,
so
good point.
I'm not gonna put your allegiances out there because I know that's the case. But what did you make of our quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, with the I own you bit down at Soldier Field last week?
You know, I'm an Aaron Rodgers fan, and you know where I stand. I'm actually a Packers fan when they're not playing the Bears, and I enjoy watching the Packers. And like I said, I love Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, I don't know if I'd say that as a player. You know, that could come back and haunt you a little bit, but he does own the Bears. I mean, he's just, I don't know. Personally, I wouldn't say it, but I'm not him, and you know, it'll be the one good thing is that the Bears have to come now back up to Lambeau Field. You know, it's not like they're going to play the next game down in Chicago. So I'm sure he'll own them again next time they play. But, yeah, I thought it was pretty gutsy for him to put that out there.
So, Steve, speaking of buzzworthy performances, what was the feeling around Whistling Straits and Kohler after Tausch's dominating performance with the junior Ryder Cup team?
Third place.
Was there a lot of buzz?
Steve. Yep.
Didn't hear about it. I'm sorry. I didn't. So explain to me. So did you win, Tausch?
No, we took third. Took third. It was
team.
A three-team field. We didn't have the leadership that we were looking for from a captain. My captaincy, not nearly as successful as yours. And in closing up shop, Steve, you know, I know that the AmFam Championship and what it does for the community is hugely important to you and your family and to everybody involved. But your emotions and how much this meant to you, just watching it, the whole dream fearlessly, this was something that you could have – it couldn't have went any better as far as a dream that you had that came to fruition.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I get chills just thinking about that day today, you know, and shoot, I never dreamed this, Tausch. I mean, I never, I never even had this on my radar ever to be a captain, you know, of a Ryder Cup team. And, shoot, this was the greatest time of my golfing career to be a part of, you know, take away the wins. I mean, this by far was the coolest thing that I've ever done in the game of golf. And, yeah, to experience with those guys, and I love each and every one of them. I mean, they just they played hard. They bought in. They did everything that they had to do, and they played great. So there's nothing more I could ask of that whole time period. You know, I mean, it just went so well, and yeah, it was pretty cool, as you can see from my emotion on some of those things, but. That's how much I love those guys and love the competition and just love to be a part of it, that it all came out.
Well, Steve, you know, Tausch loves to tease me for not being a fan and not rooting for teams, but we certainly root for you around here, and we rooted for your team in the Ryder Cup. We're thrilled that you not only emerged victorious in a rout, but also that you got to experience that, because you're one of the all-time good guys, and we appreciate all that you do for our show and for our friendship with you, and we're really happy for you. Thanks, buddy.
I appreciate that. I appreciate you guys having me on there, and the support I get from you guys means a lot, too. So it gets our word out there when it comes to the AmFam Championship, and obviously that means a lot to us, too, to be able to give back. So I appreciate you guys being able to have me on there and to get our word and story out, too.
All right, get to the range.
Yeah, far from that.
That is our friend Steve Stricker, the Ryder Cup champion captain. And Tausch, you said it. He really did. He didn't even dream fearlessly on this. He never thought it was going to be a dream for him, and he yet accomplished that dream fearlessly.
Yeah, Steve obviously represents American Family Insurance in a great way, winning championships. He mentioned he took the trophy down to Camp Randall. You guys can join. Go and get into Camp Randall next year to celebrate American Family Insurance. They want to give you an unforgettable Badgers experience. Sideline passes, tours, swag, and more. Head over to amfam.com/badgers to enter today. You and a guest go to a football or basketball home game in 22-23 at Camp Randall or at the Kohl Center. You get a full tour of the facility, on-field or on-court pictures, 2 pregame sideline passes, 2 bags of Badgers merch, $2,500 travel stipend. Again, that's amfam.com/badgers to enter today.
Jesse has his cheese fry helmet bowl. He is going to remember to pick a winner for Wilde and Tausch trivia, and he's going to do it next. It's Wilde and Tausch. To Steve Stricker. If you just tuned in and you missed our conversation with him, you can find it. Or you can find all of our shows and interviews on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app, presented by Group of Law Offices. One call. That's all. Jesse, one winner. That's all this week as we draw this week's Wilde and Tausch trivia winner, and we're doing it on Friday. Is this two Fridays in a row?
Yeah, this is
two in a row.
Well, no, actually, I think, was it last week that you had Molly draw for you?
No, that was actually 3 weeks ago. So we're actually on a three Friday streak.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's how about impressive.
Was that already 2 weeks ago that we were in Madison?
Yeah. Time flies when Packers are playing well.
The football season just flies by. It really does.
It does.
Unless you're a Badgers fan.
Go Badgers, beat Army.
It's been a tough year Purdue. So far.
Big one tomorrow. Favored on West Lafayette. Don't understand that one. All right, I got my cheese fry helmet. I've selected one of our trivia contestants.
It was not a perfect week.
It was not. Tough questions this week. Got to admit, tough questions.
Got to admit, you made the questions.
Yeah,
congratulations to Joel in Fitchburg.
I believe Joel, correct me if I'm wrong, Tausch asked Joel about eating while you're in the military, and is it like the movie Forrest Gump?
Yes, that would be the guy.
Am I remembering correctly?
So maybe I didn't jinx Joel with all that, yeah.
Yep. There you go. He was Tuesday's contestant on Badgers Trivia Tuesday.
You guys all looked like I had just said something crazy. I was just asking a question to learn more.
You asked him about his own military service, and you compared it to a fictional movie character's experience.
I asked about the food, and then I let him talk, and then I said, boy, I thought, because I saw this in Forrest Gump.
Sometimes it's just on enough ESPN Wisconsin prize packs.
Not horrible. You're looking for things to replace John Gruden, right?
Jenny. Yes, yes.
I am not a smart man. I want to hear you say, I am not a smart man.
If Bane gets caught up in some stuff, you're in big trouble.
I'm not a very smart man, but I do know not to do a John Gruden anymore.
Anymore.
So congratulations to Joel in Fitchburg. He is this week's Wildy and Tausch Trivia winner. We will play again next week, and you'll have your opportunity to be a winner next week. The 11 o'clock hour, which kicks off with the weekend preview presented by Fleet Farm, and will also include Tausch's much-hyped, much-ballyhooed.
Best ever.
Come up with it himself.
Best ever. You guys are going to be amazed when this headline hits the print.
Oversold headlines as well, all straight ahead in 2 minutes. Stick around.